Thank you very much for that. Will you bow your heads in prayer with me, please? God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, may they be acceptable to you. As we continue to hear this message and experience your presence this day, may it fill us, may it inspire us to grow in you. In the name of Jesus, amen. I began last Sunday with a question, and since I'm kind of in a little grouping of sermons here, I'm going to begin with a question again today. You don't have to answer it out loud, but just have the answer in your head. What are you afraid of? And I think Mike gave us an hint of that, what it was going to be. What is it that you are afraid of? What is it that happens or comes into your life that just makes your heart rate double? And sometimes initiates that reactionary response of fight or flight. What is it? You know, some of our fears are very real and some are imagined. Some are very serious and some are just kind of silly. Some of us cause to hesitate, but yet others can just absolutely paralyze us and can come to the place where they control our lives. So what is it? Well, Mike didn't know it, but I was going to give some examples too. So what is it? Is it that mouse that runs through your house? Is it that snake that you find in the garden that makes you scream? Is it that spider that you have to get rid of? Maybe you have a fear of dogs. Now, I don't get this one. I mean, who could be afraid of those cute dogs? They're mine. I don't understand a fear of dogs. Maybe it's losing all your money. Maybe it's financial ruin. Maybe it is severe weather. I think about those persons in the South who years ago, whose homes were destroyed because of Hurricane Katrina, and then just recently all those tornadoes went through, and I would think that they probably have a very extreme fear of storms. Or maybe it's an act of terrorism, afraid of that, afraid of a nuclear war perhaps. Maybe afraid of something happening to one of your loved ones. I think of AJ last night and being with her in the emergency room last night and the fear that she had to experience, but also witnessing the faith that was a part of that fear. Maybe it's a fear of the dark. Maybe it's an intruder that may come into your house. Maybe it's heights. Maybe you're afraid of heights. I know one thing that often sparks a little bit of fear in me is because first of all, I'm startled, and it's that fire alarms. You know how they go off all of a sudden? They just kind of startle you. Well, we had one here this last week that was not planned. I knew it was not planned, so of course I'm a little startled and a little afraid to hear that go off, particularly because it went off at the time of day when we have parents in the building to pick up their children from preschool. So I'm certainly a little afraid about getting everyone out safely. What is it for you? Germs? Being rejected? Being laughed at? Are you afraid of commitment? Loneliness? Maybe you're afraid to tell someone about Jesus, just like was shared with us so well today. Maybe you're afraid of death. Fear keeps us from living life to its fullest. Fear keeps us from being fully alive. And fears keep us from being the person that God desires us to be. Fears can very easily turn into phobias. Did you know that there's a website that's called phobialist.com? And I, of course, went there and checked it out. And there are over like 600 phobias listed. It's just amazing the number of phobias. I mean, beyond the common ones that we may think of claustrophobia or acrophobia. But then there was even a phobia of having a phobia. There was actually a fear of sermons, and it's called homilophobia. I think that's because maybe we're sometimes afraid of what we hear and how it touches our heart and challenges us. Phobias are exaggerated and irrational fears, and actually phobias can actually sometimes cross over a line and become a mental disorder. So fears are something that we can be very concerned about. Many psychiatrists will say that naturally, as persons, we are born with only two fears, and it's the fear of falling and the fear of loud noises. And that some will advocate that that's been incorporated into our DNA as a mechanism. It's a survival mechanism for us. And then it said that any other fears beyond those are fears that we acquire in our lives. And very often, most of our fears have their beginning or their seed before we're 6 years old. So it makes me think, oh my gosh, that means that probably we as parents probably instill a lot of fears in our children. So I think about, you know, so what about, for example, if there's a spider in your house? And what if as a parent we scream and at the sight of that spider, well, maybe we begin to plant a seed of that kind of fear in our child. What maybe would be very different if all of a sudden I saw a spider and said, oh, look, honey, there's a daddy long leg. And you go pick up the daddy long leg by one of his legs and just escort him outside and say, he's in a better environment. I don't know. Fear just crouches in our hearts. It hollows out our insides, and it's another one of those things that just eats away at us. And it can turn us so that we're living within a prison. Real fear, if we look at what it's really intended to be in its most helpful way, a fear is not meant to paralyze us, but it's meant to prepare us. Is to prepare us for a circumstance or a situation that we're confronted with. And so a little bit of fear helps to bring up that energy and that focus that we need to face that. But instead, it crosses over often to become something that paralyzes us. You know, not all fears are bad. You know, if I fear of falling off a motorcycle, that may make me wear a helmet when I ride the motorcycle. If I'm afraid about failing a test, it may cause me to study harder. So some fears are indeed healthy and helpful to us. You know, a fear that's addressed throughout the scripture is to have a fear of God. In Proverbs 1, verse 7, it says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So that fear is helpful. It's not a fear that paralyzes us. That fear is a fear of a respect that kind of draws us to want to know more about God. So that's a healthy fear. But we know that also fears can be harmful. And I think about some categories of those harmful fears. What about the fear of the unknown? What about being afraid of the disease? What about being afraid of death? I think when we think about fear of death, I think maybe we're afraid of the dying process. Maybe pain that would be a part of that. Maybe we're afraid of unfinished business. Not having everything done we want to have done here on earth. Or maybe we're afraid of not knowing what comes after our physical death. We can have that fear of uncertainty. Don't we sometimes, with a job loss or with an upcoming divorce, doesn't that sometimes evoke a lot of fear of uncertainty? Because we don't know what's next. What about a fear of being unloved or unwanted? A fear of change. You know, I think sometimes even good changes like a graduation or a marriage or having a baby, that can evoke those experiences of fear. But what I want to say about all fear is that ultimately it's a spiritual issue. And I hope that that's something that we can glean, not only last week when we talked about worry, as I talked about that, and if you missed that, you can access that sermon on our website as it is archived. And then in 2 weeks, I'll talk about anger. You know, all of these issues, though, there may be different approaches, different processes to work through them. What is interesting to me is the fact that if we realize that all of them are really spiritual issues, we don't need, and if we would have, say, for example, all three of those issues that we're struggling with, we don't need to work at, honestly, three different processes to them. There's one common process that we can embrace that will make that change and provide that solution. And that one process is that they're all spiritual issues. Because if we are continually grounding our lives deeper and deeper in Christ and looking to God more and more for those solutions and that guidance, no matter what the issue is, that one solution is going to help us navigate through all of those experiences. I also think we need to remember that underlying our fears is truly a spiritual battle. Because you see, God is battling for our hearts amidst all of this fear, and God wants to unite with us and help us to navigate through those fears. But then there's this other, and I don't know what you call it, if you call it an evil force, or you call it the evil, or you call it Satan, but whatever it is, it's this polar opposite that desires also our heart and mind. So we have that process going on within us, that battle that's going on underneath there. And we as humans have a choice as to how we will deal with issues such as fear. I think it's hard to fight the things that we're afraid of. And I do know that sometimes we need a little help. And I do believe that God wants us to know that our help can come from God. And that's why it is said in Scripture so many times, fear not. There one writer said that the words fear not are in Scripture 366 times. It says a fear not, one for every day and one for leap year. Isn't that great? I don't know if that number's right. But one thing I know is if something is said that often, I think it's really trying to make a point. And fear not, I think, is a point that God tries to make. Don't live in fear. When Joshua was facing conquering the promised land, God said to him, I command you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And I know it's easy for us to hear those words, oh, don't be discouraged. But it's hard, isn't it, when we have a real, honest-to-goodness fear. In Scripture, it's addressed in Isaiah 41, verse 10, do not be afraid, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. He speaks those words into whatever we're afraid. Are we afraid of something for our children? Are we afraid of something for our world? And then in 1 John 4, verse 18, there is no fear in love, but love casts out all fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. And I like that, because in that scripture, as I work through that, I think about the fact that there's no fear in love, and God is love. So whenever we are totally filled with God's Spirit within us, that's the way that we battle our fears. And I love it because it says, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. It reminds me that, you know what? This dealing with our fears is not something one and done. It's not something we accomplish one time and it's all over with. It says that, for me, it says it's a journey. And it's a journey that we move toward that perfection in that love. And it takes time. On the night when the disciples were gathered in a room and they were afraid, Jesus had just been put to death and Jesus had been resurrected. And they gathered in this room, and in Scripture it says, when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. You know, the disciples were in there and they were afraid, because they knew that the Jews hated them when Jesus walked this earth, and they knew that the Jews would hate them even more now that this resurrection thing had happened. And they were afraid. It was like all this fear and all these bodies were gathered in this room, and they were locked trying to keep that outside of this room, and Jesus walked in. Jesus walked right into that fear-filled room. For those fear-filled persons, it said, peace be with you. And clearly saying to them that they needed Jesus so that they could overcome their fear. My hope for us today and always as we deal with our fears is that we will grow spiritually through them and because of them. That takes faith. And so I can understand that fear is an opportunity for our faith to be further developed. Take a look at in depth a little bit of a story that's fairly well known, a story of Jesus as he walked on water. And you find that in Matthew 14. And I think it is truly a fear passage. Jesus had just fed thousands of people with a couple of fish and a few loaves of bread. And he wanted to be by himself, so he withdrew to a mountain, put the disciples on a boat. And so Jesus stayed behind just to pray. And soon the weather changed that night, and a storm blew up and the waves battered that boat. And it seemed the disciples were in that boat all night long, fear-filled all night long until early in the morning. It had been a night filled with perhaps terror for them. As if they were not full of enough fear, the scripture said they were terrified when they saw this something, this image on the water, and they said, "It's a ghost." And it says that they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke, and he said to those, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter then asked Jesus to command him to go out and to walk on the water, to walk out there to Jesus, which he did. So Peter took his fears right with him, and he walked to Jesus. He walked to faith. But when he noticed as he was walking that there were still all these high winds and these high waves, fear came again, and he was all consumed, and he began to sink in the stormy waters. But Jesus reached out his hand, and he said, "Oh, you of little faith." Faith worked to overcome fear when Peter had his eyes focused on Jesus. Didn't focus on the fear then. He focused on Jesus, and it was faith that replaced the fear. So how can we grow spiritually as a result of our fears? Because I do believe that we can grow through fears. And so how do we do that? Well, the first thing that we need to do is admit our fears and refuse to fear. And you know, that's what the disciples did. They admitted their fear when they said, when the disciples saw him, Jesus, out on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost," and they cried out in fear. So we need to wonder, what are those fears that hold us back, that keep us from living that life that God intended for us? What are the fears that may be holding and freezing your life? What's holding you back from a deeper relationship with God? Is it fear of rejecting? Is it a fear of not being accepted? What are those fears? And we need to acknowledge them and address them. And then whatever they are, the second thing we have to do is we have to take the risk and transform our fear into action. And this is the classic step, facing your fears. But just like admitting you're afraid isn't necessarily natural, risk-taking isn't natural either. This just doesn't come naturally to us, does it? Most of us have parents, perhaps, that put us on the school bus when we were little in the morning, or maybe you put your children out. And what we did, most of us have, that we didn't hear was we were putting children on the bus, or as we were put on the bus, we did not hear our parents say to us, "Have a risky day. I want you to embrace the danger today. When you cross that street, oh, just look one way." You know, we didn't do that. Too much risk. Instead, what we said, "Oh, be careful." Didn't we? "Oh, it's a dangerous world out there. A lot of things can happen." Risk-taking doesn't come naturally, but spiritual growth involves risk. So we have to take the risk. And that's when what Peter did when he's in scripture, it said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and he walked on the water and he walked toward Jesus. That was a big step. It was a risky step. But what did it lead to? It led to an intimacy with Jesus. It led to faith, because Jesus was calling. If you do something that feels risky to you, but you know that God is a part of it, that's when fear becomes faith. I know years ago, God has called, I know I've experienced those kind of moments in my own life, and I know you have too. Years ago, God called me to leave behind a career that I was comfortable in and growing in, to follow him in a new way. I was afraid. God called me in times to give to ministries financially in a way that I was afraid. God has called me to serve in mission in ways and to share life with people in ways and that I was afraid. You got to take a risk. You got to get out of the boat. And I know that those experiences take a lot of courage. I was not always sure that I even had, but that's what it takes, is courage to get out of the boat. But we need to know that courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is doing the right thing even when you are afraid. Courage is rejecting comfort and doing the very thing that you fear. And when we don't do that, we just add fuel to that fire of fear. So we got to get out of the boat. So what boat do you need to get out of? One of the things we can also expect is when we get out of the boat is that expect the fear to return. We may tackle it one time, but it may come back. That's exactly what happened to Peter, isn't it? He tackled his fear, and he got out of the boat. But then he walked on that water, and that fear returned again, and he began to sink. But what he learned was once he redirected his focus and his energy on Jesus, fear was overcome by faith. And finally, that last step, as we look at fear, we need to embrace the presence of God, and then we will be freed from fear. Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of Peter, and he said to him, "You have little faith. Why do you doubt?" God's promise is this: there's nothing that you and I together can't handle. We sang an opening hymn today, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And in there it said, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and grief to bear. I say all our fears to bear. Jesus wants us to know that we're not alone, that God is 24/7 with us. And you know, the last thing in this story that was shared in Scripture is we see the disciples praising and worshiping God. Because once they overcame this experience and they understood and they grew, they gave praise to God. And in the boat, they said that in the boat, "You are certainly God's son," is what they had to realize. They realized what it took and what had happened with the fear that was in the boat. Now, I'm not under any assumption that hearing this message that you're going to walk out of here and you're going to say, "I'm going to conquer all my fears and I have all the tools and gifts that I need." But one thing I do know that I can leave you with today is a message that it's God's word and God's presence that will make a difference in that experience for you. I believe with all my heart that the Bible teaches this. I believe with all my heart that God is in the midst of any of our fears if we will just turn our focus to Him, and it will happen for us. I want to close today reading from a book of Psalms, a psalm that I think is yet another message of this kind of process that we're called to understand. "Be gracious to me, O God, for people trample on me all day long. Foes oppress me. My enemies trample on me all day long, for many fight against me. O Most High, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust. I am not afraid. What can flesh do to me? All day long they seek to injure my cause. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They stir up strife. They lurk. They watch my steps. As they hope to have my life, so repay them for their crime. In wrath cast down the peoples, O God. You have kept count of my tossings. Put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your record? Then my enemies will retreat in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. In God, whose word I praise, in the Lord, whose word I praise, in God I trust. I am not afraid. What can a mere mortal do to me? My vows to you I must perform, O God. I will render thank offerings to you, for you have delivered my soul from death and from my feet falling, so that I may walk before God in the light of life." May those words speak into whatever fear or fears you have, make you bold and courageous enough to address them and to overcome them, not alone, but with the help, support, and guidance of God. Will you bow your heads in prayer with me, please? Gracious and holy God, we are human, and we do have challenges in our lives, and certainly fear can be one of those, God. And so I just pray for whatever the fears that each one of us have here, that God, through this message and through your word, that we may realize that you want us to conquer those, that you want us to address those, but never alone, with you. In the name of Jesus, amen.